Welcome to Heels in the Courtroom, a podcast about successfully navigating law and life, featuring the women trial attorneys at the Simon Law Firm.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Heels in the Courtroom. My name is Elizabeth McNulty, and I'm here with Erica Slater, Liz Linneby, and Amy Gunn. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
It's summer. So today we're going to be talking about conferences. For us in the summer, that means we go to legal kind of conferences, get our continuing legal education or CLEs, connect with colleagues that we haven't seen in a while or some that we have seen. And some conferences we get to spend a little bit of time with our families, bring them along. And some of us refer to this as forced fun.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but this makes sense now.
Yeah, so these conferences, I think they are what you make of them. So they can be fun or they can be really miserable. It's kind of what your outlook is. So we're going to be talking about some ways to make them more fun and just some strategies to kind of get through them if that's the way you look at them. Because, you know, if you're someone who maybe this is the first time you're going to be going to some of these kinds of events, then I think the best thing is to know what you're getting yourself into, because it's certainly something that you should prepare yourself for. I don't know if there are other industries that have conferences like this. I'm certain that they are, but especially in the legal field, I think that a lot of lawyers, especially trial lawyers, we kind of are work hard, play hard kind of industry. So these conferences, a lot of people use them, especially in the summer, to have a lot of fun. So I think that it's something to be prepared for, if especially as women lawyers. So, Liz, what is your main tip for going into your first conference? What do you think was something that you weren't necessarily prepared for that you wish you had been?
Elizabeth, you, Amy, and I just returned from a multi-day conference hosted by the Bar Association of Metropolitan St. Louis. And it was interesting because I had not been to this conference in several years. So I had kind of, I guess, a unique perspective in that the first time I went, I was very early on in my career. And now here I am almost 10 years later and I'm returning to this conference. So I kind of compared the two. And in thinking about preparing for today's recording, I just sort of thought, okay, how do I prepare the two? Because I will say, I feel like I was more successful in networking at this one. And part of that is because I know more people now. I know that that's the case. But I think a couple of the different strategies I've employed, that maybe this comes with time and age and experience and just building up my confidence, is I did try to make more of an effort to speak to random people. And I will say, this is probably for younger lawyers who are hard eyes, introverts like myself. It is very intimidating and very daunting going into some of these conferences and seeing the groups of friends that are already there. Because my brain, I'm immediately thinking, if I go and try to talk to people, I'm going to sound so annoying. They're going to be like, who is this girl? What is her problem? What a weirdo. That was what was going through my mind at the, you know, the first time I went to a couple of these conferences. The strategy I can employ now, and again, this comes with age, because now I've been the person that's been in the friend group and I can see someone standing on the outside and they want to try to network and come in. We're never annoyed when someone wants to break into a group and chat. That's what we're all there for. We all have the same purpose. This is not like when you're at a bar with your buddies and some random guy tries to butt into the conversation and you're like, hey, man, get out of here. That's a completely different setting than what we're doing here, where we're all networking. You're not being intrusive. You're not being annoying. We're there to meet people. So by you taking that first brave step and breaking into the group of people chatting, you're doing a service not only to yourself, but to the people that you're trying to talk to. So that's one difference that I think I've noticed in myself, and my advice to people going into these settings is don't be afraid to just start talking to people. The other piece of advice I have, though, because I still have these introvert tendencies, is if you can, try to sucker a friend into coming with you, because it is just so much easier when you have that person that you can just sort of go everywhere with and link up with. And just, I mean, it's like what our parents told us when we were little: buddy system. Always use the buddy system. And so, Elizabeth, I asked you if you would go to the conference because I had decided that I wanted to go. And so luckily Elizabeth agreed and we were able to go down there together. And so that's been the big difference that I've noticed in the effectiveness of these conferences. But and shout out to BAMSL. They did a great job. I thought the CLEs were wonderful, very informative. And that's sort of the draw, because especially right now, our deadline for CLE compliance is at the end of June. So for lawyers especially, you see all of these kind of big multi-day conferences come up as we get closer to that compliance reporting date, because people want to make sure that they have all of their hours. And it's a really easy way to go and get 8 hours in a couple of days, but also get the networking side of it. So I really encourage young lawyers to go to these events and just start talking to people. And, you know, if you feel like a conversation's fizzled out with one group, well, now you've got an easy out to go and just find someone else to talk to. So that would be my big piece of advice.
I think bringing someone along with you is an excellent piece of advice. I was in a sorority in college, so never went anywhere alone. So very much, and I've since, you know, graduated from that, very independent now, but it brought me back to that of, like, you know, always going somewhere with someone, which was really great. But I think also for younger women who might be interested in going to something like this, it's really an added benefit for your own safety having another woman there with you. So if you can bring someone with you, because, you know, you never know what could happen at something like this. And it's always nice to just have a friend or, I guess, a female colleague there with you. Erica, I know you weren't able to join us this year, but I know you will be at another conference we have coming up soon. And I know you've been to some in the past. So do you have any tips for our listeners?
Yeah, I think every summer I end up going to, you know, a handful of these conferences that are either over the weekend, or it's usually two or three nights that you're often, at least in Missouri, we're often like at a lake resort type thing. Or, you know, if you are lucky enough to go to like one of the ABA conferences that are, you know, all over the country, usually in awesome spots, you know, those kinds of things end up being good travel. And, you know, you are able to extend your trip or something and stay on and do some fun stuff. As a counterpoint, I don't know if the legal community is unique in this, probably not. But like, I've talked to my mom, she's a registered nurse, and she'll go to conferences in her field, which is toxicology. And I've been like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on there? And, you know, excited for her because I think she's going to get a break. And like, those conferences are planned from the morning, or the second you like walk out of your hotel in the morning, until the second you go back to your hotel. Like, even the dinners were planned, and like they're in certain classes and breakout sessions. And like, it was a very intense, focused time, which, you know, I mean, that makes sense. You'd probably get a ton out of that conference. But what has always given me a little bit of pause is a lot of times at the conferences we go to, it may be like, you know, 1.5 days, 2.5, 3 full days, and there's plenty of rec time mm-hmm. built in. And there's usually organized activities, like they offer, you know, if this group wants to go to golf, or you can, you know, when we go to the lake in Missouri, you can take a shuttle to the outlet malls, you know. So there's some organized activities, but I always kind of felt like an outsider a little bit, because there were kind of all these groups that you could tell, like, when every year, and it's like, oh, somebody's got a boat, and did you get the boat invite? Or somebody's got, you know, this dinner set up, and like, did you latch onto a group for a dinner? And Liz, I think that's what you were kind of talking about too. Like, if you have to like plan your own stuff or latch onto a group to fill that space of time, if you're a younger attorney and you haven't made all these connections, that's much harder to navigate. As you get more experience and deeper in your profession,
that becomes a really fun part because you're either hosting it or your group of friends, you know, you have your group of friends who goes and does that. Somebody has bought a boat and you're like, thank God it wasn't me, but I'll be happy to be a friend of someone with a boat. And it gets really enjoyable. But those are the kinds of things that kind of gave me anxiety before. So I think to kind of plan against that, you know, one thing is to get your own group together and make the plan yourself. So like, you know, if a lot of people make a reservation at some restaurant, you make the reservation and get your own group together. Or for example, you know, you can reach out to people beforehand, like, hey, are you going to that conference? Great, I'll see you there. So Liz, remember when there's a young associate on a case that we were co-counseling with her firm, and she lives on the other side of the state and reached out to us and was like, hey, I'm the only one going to this conference from my firm. Like, are you guys going to be there? And we made that connection beforehand and like made sure, you know, she was taken care of. And, you know, if we had a reservation, we reached out and included her and, you know, kind of hopefully we're paying it forward and, you know, all of us kind of going through that first conference season, if you will. But, if you talk to someone who has been to the conference before, you can kind of know what to expect, get the lay of the land, understand if there's, you know, free time that you need to plan to fill. And the other thing, this is just, you know, I know this is kind of superficial, but if you look on the organization's website and see like pictures from the conference year before, you can kind of get a flavor for like what's the appropriate dress at each event and things like that. Because sometimes, like when I was with my first firm, we do a retreat every year that kind of, you know, kind of functioned like this conference, but we were big enough that it was just our group. And it was important to know that like you wore business formal to the classroom part of it. And then the rest was like resort casual, which kind of sounds funny. I don't know why they did that. But like that was something that was important to like figure out if I had the right clothes. And resort casual has flummoxed me until like last year. So I never thought I had like the right stuff to bring. So that's how you can plan, is look at pictures from the year before.
That's very smart, because I remember the first year that I went to the Missouri Association of Trial Attorneys, MATA, our annual conference, I did, and it's funny, Erica, because we came from the same defense firm. What did I wear to the first day of CLEs?
A suit.
I wore a suit. I'm wearing a suit and heels, and the man next to me, I think, was wearing like a Tommy Bahama t-shirt and like flip-flops. And I'm sitting there like, I can see this man's toes right now. I'm wearing a suit. And I learned my lesson after that. But yes, that's very good. That's a very good tip to just take a look at some pictures and get an idea of what the vibe is.
Yeah. I'd say over the years, my attendance at conferences has changed a little bit. When my boys were little, even BAMSL, which those of you have been, not family friendly, just in terms of the activities.
Yeah, mostly adult stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But 15 years ago, we took our boys. And I mean, we weren't the only people who brought kids. I know. Everybody's laughing. But I think that any opportunity I had to do work, to mix work and family, you get a two for one, I was doing it. And since my husband's a lawyer, it's really been nice because he knows a lot of the same people that I know. And it is not uncomfortable for him to go to these conferences with me. And we brought the kids to as many as we could, particularly MATA. They both grew up in MATA.
Well, there's also an entire hotel room that is cleared out of furniture and made into a free snack room for attendees.
Brilliant.
Which, like, my kids went once and they can't shut up about it.
Exactly.
They're like, what about that magical room with as much food as I want?
Mm-hmm. Yes. My boys are 18 and 21 now, and they still speak of the snack room.
Yes.
So I always tried to do as much as that as possible, because a real good conference, particularly in the summer, has time set aside, free afternoons that you could do whatever, and we'd rent a boat or whatever the kids want to do, go to the pool. And then we would bring my mother or our babysitter or someone, because then
There's nothing more fun than a kid in a hotel room ordering room service. So we would need someone. So we got to do the day stuff with them and then the party stuff, just the two of us. So that always was, I look very fondly on the conferences where we got to do that. Now, and then Kevin also had his own conferences, and one at least one in the summer was friendly. And so we would all go to that conference, and there were about three or four other families with similarly aged children, and they all kind of grew up together. So it can be super fun. Now, if you are going to conferences and you don't want to bring your kids or don't have kids or your kids are grown up like mine are now, you know, I think I've got a couple of bits of advice. If you're starting out, the most fun that I've had at conferences, even though it's not terribly relaxing, is being a part of the conference, being in leadership of the organization, having roles to play. I need that. I'm not comfortable walking into a room, even now, I don't love it, without knowing a whole lot of people or having a role to play. That gives me some comfort, knowing that, okay, I have to make sure this person is entertained or this person talks to that person, or I'm the bridge between these two people. I have a job to do, even at cocktail parties. And that made it easier for me to go, especially if Kevin's not there or I don't know a whole lot of people. So I've done that. So MATA now is easy because, my goodness, I've been going for so many years. And Bench and Bar, I've been there a number of times over the years. And I love the advice, Liz and Elizabeth and Erica, on, you know, find your people. That just makes it easier. So number one, if you're going to go, I'm a fan of having a purpose. And that usually means being in leadership. The second bit of advice is be the plus one. If you can get on a conference with your significant other or your spouse and you have no responsibilities whatsoever, including networking, now that's the best way to go to a conference, to be the plus one. I'm in a national organization now that Kevin would go on a couple of the conferences, like if it's a good spot, right? Napa Valley, Kevin Gunn is in. So I have found myself going to some of these conferences by myself. And now that I've been going for a number of years, I know my people, but I'm also in leadership. So for me to be comfortable at a larger conference, then I'm on the board. And so I know a lot of the board members now. So I walk into a room and I see a few of them. And that is what makes me more comfortable. But it also increases the networking. Because if you're going to these conferences and you're on a panel or you're headlining one of the CLEs or you're on the board or all three, then people are going to want to talk to you because they want to follow up on something you said in the CLE, or they want to talk to you about something that was discussed in the board meeting. And so it just makes it easier and more, you're more approachable that way. And that's just my personality. I want to walk into a room and see somebody, and then I'm going to beeline to that person. And you have to network, because even though it's fun, I mean, I think we all can agree that the number one reason to do all these conferences is to network and to build relationships and to build business relationships. And I think you have to find the best way you're comfortable with doing that.
So the thing that I'm thinking about now, because my brain is, okay, I'm listening to this episode, this is all great advice, but I'm a first year associate. How am I going to break onto this board? Right? Because typically, I think when we talk about board positions, we look for people who have some experience, maybe some leadership already established in the community. But an easy way for young lawyers to do that is look to see if within that organization there is something called like a young lawyers section,
exactly,
or the young lawyers division. That is the easiest way to break in as a newer attorney. And something I wish I had done more of when I was that younger lawyer, kind of intimidated in these settings.
I couldn't agree more. And most organizations, I'd say Young Lawyers or the Women's Caucus. Mm-hmm. A lot of organizations do have, it's a small but mighty. I actually helped put one together for this national organization I was talking about earlier. I am proud of the fact that even for MATA, probably 10 years ago, maybe longer now, maybe 15 years ago, I had been to an AAJ event, a Women's Caucus AAJ event, and recognized that MATA didn't have a Women's Caucus and called the executive director and said, we need one. And we've had one ever since. And why did I do that? Because it's a smaller group where I'm more comfortable. It's very selfish.
Like you to create a room full of women that I can walk into. Thank you.
And it's not that hard. You know, you just do a happy hour and call it the Women's Caucus and start a lift serve. And all of a sudden it's loose, but it's important in those situations. And I can't believe that I'm alone in that hesitation to walk into a room, because again, a lot of our organizations, particularly trial lawyer organizations, are still vast majority men. And that's wonderful. But if you're like me and you walk into a room and you don't really see yourself, intimidation is not the right word. I think I'd like to believe that I have outgrown that, but it's just not my first choice. I guess that's the only way I can put it.
There's an awareness of it. And it's hard to shake that awareness when you walk in and you're the only person who looks like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's that awareness of, I don't know if anyone else is aware of this.
Right. Yeah. And then I worry, what am I wearing? Am I wearing something appropriate for a room full of people that don't look like me? What am I drinking? Especially if I'm alone, right? If I got Kevin, that's a whole different story. But what am I drinking? How much am I drinking? Mm-hmm. It's just not as comfortable as if you walk in a room, go straight up to the women, and I am very guilty of this. And then maybe after I'm more comfortable and I've got my base, then I'll branch out. Then I'm good. But I am the kind of person that is most comfortable with having that base, even if it's just one person, before I can move into the bigger crowd. And then I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm good at this if I'm in the right space mentally. And I think you have to be to really enjoy it. But it can be done. You have to know yourself.
Amy, you mentioned drinking around people. And I think that I actually don't know. Obviously, I'm a lawyer. I've only really been in the legal field. And I know that drinking in professional settings is very common in our industry. I don't really know about other industries. And I'm curious what the group thinks and if you have like personal rules for yourself of what you think drinking in a professional setting is. And I think, is that different when, you know, you don't know a lot of the people or you're with like a comfortable friend group and what that looks like for you?
It's hard because with social anxiety, the medicine is sometimes alcohol. So you go in and you want to have a good time and be comfortable, so you have a drink. So then you're a little bit more comfortable, and then you think, oh, I'm going to have another drink because now I'm more comfortable than I was when I walked in. And then you're on a balancing act of how much is too much, because you never, ever, ever want to lose your senses for all kinds of reasons, not the least of which is this is a professional setting, sort of. And even though it's friendly, we are, you know, people who talk to each other and, you know, often love a good shit show. So you don't ever want to be that person. And then, you know, for personal safety issues as well, you can never be off your guard. And so that is a balancing act, because you want to be comfortable. And sometimes that means drinking, but you can't drink too much. And so I think you just have to keep in mind, like, I'll have one drink, and maybe it's what you're drinking. I'll have one drink and then I will gauge what's going on. Have I met people? Am I in a group that I'm comfortable with? What time is it? How close to the door am I? Because I also can ghost. I always have to be somewhere where I can ghost. That's what I need for my comfort level. And it's the craziest thing, because I feel it coming over me. I don't know why. I can be in a perfectly good conversation with somebody, but I feel like I got to go now. And so that, I think as I've grown older and done this more often, I don't let myself get lost in the moment. I'm always aware of what time it is, how many drinks have I had. And that's if I'm alone. Now, like I said, poor Kevin Gunn. If I'm with him, then most of that is on him, right? And he
shuts down and quite a number of parties.
He can do it, right? And so the thing that makes fun of me is, you know, he's in charge of me having a good time, and he'll say, I think you've had enough, and then I'll yell at him because I haven't had enough. And he's like, I can never win. I can never win. But as long as he recognizes he can never win, then we're okay. So I don't know. I feel very, very lucky to have him in that context, because now we just have a routine and we talk about it beforehand, like, you know, this is my event. But even then, I think, again, the older I get, the less I want to be have any attention whatsoever, and particularly not that kind of attention where, you know, you're the drunky clown.
I kind of want to go back to what I said earlier, buddy system.
Yeah.
Like when you're in these situations, and it's interesting because you are technically at a work event.
Yes.
You are there not only representing yourself, but you're representing your firm or your office, wherever it is that you may work. And that's something that you should probably at least keep in the back of your mind. I'm not trying to be a buzzkill, but just keep it in mind. But Amy, I'm the same way you are, where I am much nicer and I think more approachable, and I make much better conversation after I've had maybe a drink or two.
Yeah.
Elizabeth's laughing at me because this last event, she's like, you were much friendlier when you've been drinking.
I like that better.
I get a lot of social anxiety, and I think that makes people think I don't like them, but it's not that. It's just I'm just awkward. Just let me be awkward. But at the same time, safety is very important. Reputation is very important. So you want to know your limits, but it's also important, again, I think, to have a friend there. And I've been very lucky to have Steve at several of these events with me, and he knows when to, like, you know, put that cane out and pull me off like I'm bombing at the Apollo. But just to have someone there that you can check on each other.
Yes.
And if the other person looks like maybe they've had too much, or maybe you're getting a weird energy in a certain setting, maybe it's time to call it. But you stick with each other. Try not to leave each other behind. And again, we're talking to women right now. Like, we all know these rules. We've heard these rules. But it's always good maybe to just get a quick reminder of them.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of our holiday party episode, you know, when we go to these holiday parties, but it is more than that because you're away from home and you're in a hotel and you may be in a hotel room by yourself. And so, again, not to go all downer, but I think we all, gosh, you know, I tried a case last year that was a work event at a hotel that ended in sexual assault. You cannot understate how important it is to have a buddy and to really always be aware of yourself.
Can I tell a quick story about you, Erica?
Uh-oh.
I mean, that gives me no more information to answer that question.
This was one of the first conferences I had ever gone to. So I was very green. And this is what I remember. It was late in the evening after some, you know, networking party. People had been drinking. So we were on the elevator. You and I were taking the elevator, and another man from the conference, don't know him, stranger, he got on the elevator with us. And you noticed that he was getting off at the same floor as you. And you made the comment of, oh, can I go to your room real quick? Because I was still going up. And we said, sure. What am I going to tell you? No. So we rode the elevator up, and then you're like, actually, I just didn't want to get off on the elevator with him. One, I'm not saying he'd do anything, but two, you don't know who's watching. You don't know who's going to spread a rumor. Just, you know, just take care of your reputation like that. I think I maybe read more into you just saying, I wasn't going to get off on that same floor with him because I don't know who's around. And that's just something that was 8 years ago. Maybe?
That was brilliant.
And I just remember that if it's late in the evening, and again, I'm in a work setting, I'm by myself in a hotel room, maybe just take that elevator a little bit longer.
I also think that is, you know, and Amy, you said we didn't need to go down a downer road, but, you know, here we are. I think for our listeners, which, you know, our female listeners and also our male listeners, I think this is kind of that kind of crappy point of like, these are the things we think about, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, in any situation, it's important to be aware of your surroundings. But I mean, it's good to just keep your instincts. And I think it's that combination of like a work conference, alcohol involved, and away from your normal life with exactly. no one's eyes on you, like your spouse not there. I mean, you know, conferences involve shenanigans for that reason, because it's the perfect, you know, recipe for that. And obviously, if that is not your intention in going to a conference, then you just kind of do things to stay away from that fray. You know, if maybe don't change location with a group that you're having a couple drinks with where you know it's only getting sloppy from there. You know, say, you know, no, I'm going to get up for the, you know, 8 a.m. class tomorrow or whatever. I'm going to hit the hay. Like, just call it when it's time to call it. But alternatively, I was also going to recommend, like, if you see your good friends that you're catching up with, or it's great to have time to relax with them. I mean, now that I'm in my mom phase, it's great to see some of my friends who we aren't able to get together except for this free time that is carved out. Change locations. You know, like, if you want to continue yeah. hanging out with them, go ahead and change locations and just make the rest of that night about, you know, catching up, and you don't have to, you know, be gossiping and, you know, having an extra drink or two in front of the whole conference.
Okay, well, I think that those were all some really good safety tips. Hopefully we didn't overwhelm or freak anyone out. But I think that
safety
those are really good things to keep in mind, especially if you're someone who's used to always being with a spouse or always having someone there with you and you are traveling alone. It's always good to keep a good check and, you know, always, you know, keep your head in a swivel. If this is something that sounds really overwhelming to you, don't be too hard on yourself and still go to the conference, set a list of goals, you know, make it your goal to talk to a couple of people and do that, and then pat yourself on the back and have a good time, take a break, and enjoy yourself. It's supposed to be fun.
Let me pop in my last tip. It is okay, despite everything we've said, to go to a conference, go to the scheduled events, and then go ahead and take advantage of a hotel room by yourself, especially depending on what your home situation is. Again, as a mother of young kids, I have taken the opportunity, and I know my wife has too when she's on a work trip, to bow out of like the evening events if they're optional,
yes.
and just enjoy a hotel room by yourself. And catch up on the TV you don't have at home and, you know, relax. And it's honestly, that's a great way to get the feel for a conference, not worry about all the other social stuff that, you know, we've made you terribly anxious about, I guess. And, you know, the next year you will see people that you recognize from the year before and you can just build on it year after year.
The one thing that I wanted to add, which, again, because we just came from that conference, was if maybe you're in a position where you're planning the conference and you're trying to think about the best way to get people to network who may not be wanting to take a little bit of me time, which is completely fair. But something that the BAMSL conference did that I thought I really liked it was they gave out this little slip of paper and they're like, find someone who is one of these things. And it was like someone who can speak multiple languages, someone who plays an instrument, someone who went to this law school. And it just was a way to get conversation going. And I talked to so many random people I would maybe have never otherwise talked to. And I already had some piece of information about them that I could easily then segue into another conversation. So I think that that was a great way. So if you are the individual planning the conference, try to find icebreakers, forced fun, right? But I would give a shout out to whoever at BAMSL thought of that. I thought that that was a really good idea, and it was a very effective way of networking for me personally.
I agree. And another way I've seen that done, which is even easier for introverts, is forced random assigned seating at meals, and then they have like random like icebreaker questions that you like go around the table and ask, and it does make it easier, and it's an easy way to get to know people. So free ideas for anyone who might be planning social events for organizations. Well, thank you all for joining us on this episode of Heels in the Courtroom. I hope you enjoy whatever networking long conferences you have planned for this summer. And I hope that these tips help you enjoy those conferences. As always, we have episodes that drop every other Wednesday. Thanks so much.
Heels in the Courtroom is brought to you by the Simon Law Firm. At the Simon Law Firm PC, we believe in the power of pooling resources in order to create powerful results. We often lend our trial skills and experience to lawyers around the country to achieve better results for their clients. Our attorneys welcome the opportunity to work with you on your case, offering vast resources, seasoned litigators, and a sterling reputation. You can contact us at 314-241-2929. And if you enjoyed the podcast, feel free to share your thoughts with Amy, Liz, Erica, Mary, Elizabeth at heelsinthecourtroom.law. And subscribe today, because the best lawyers never stop learning.